3. Harim 682 was a big, beefy man of about 50, with great slabs of muscle bulging on his arms and chest, and a good thick insulating layer of fat over that. Sheeran, studying him through the window of the hospital room, knew right away that he and Harim were going to get along. "I've always been partial to people who are, well, oversized," the psychologist explained to Kalaratan and Kubello. "Having been one myself for most of my life, you understand. Not that I've ever been a muscle man like this one." Sheeran laughed pleasantly. "I'm blubber through and through, except for here, of course," he added, tapping the side of his head. "What kind of work does this Harim do?"
"Longshoreman," Kalaratan said. 35 years on the Jonglore docks. He won a ticket to the opening day of the Tunnel of Mystery in a lottery. Took his whole family. They were all affected to some degree, but he was the worst. That's very embarrassing to him, that a great, strong man like him should have such a total breakdown."
"I can imagine," Sheeran said. "I'll take that into account. Let's talk with him, shall we?" They entered the room. Harim was sitting up, staring without interest at a spinner cube that was casting light in half a dozen colors on the wall opposite his bed. He smiled affably enough when he saw Kalaratan, but seemed to stiffen when he noticed the lawyer Kubello walking behind the hospital director, and his face turned completely glacial at the sight of Sheeran.
"Who's he?"
he asked Kalaratan.
"Another lawyer?"
"Not at all. This is Sheeran 501 from Sorrow University. He's here to help you get well."
"Huh," Harim snorted. "Another double brain. What good have any of you done for me?"
"Absolutely right," Sheeran said. "The only one who can really help Harim get well is Harim, eh? You know that, and I know that. And maybe I can persuade the hospital people here to see that, too."
He sat down on the edge of the bed. It creaked beneath the psychologist's bulk.
"At least they have decent beds in this place, though. They must be pretty good if they can hold the two of us at the same time. Don't like lawyers, I gather. You and me both, friend."
"Miserable troublemakers is all they are," Harim said. "Full of tricks they are. They make you say things you don't mean, telling you that they can help you if you say such and such, and then they end up using your own words against you. That's the way it seems to me, anyway."
Sheeran looked up at Kalaratan.
"Is it absolutely necessary that Kubello be here for this interview? I think it might go a little more smoothly without him."
"I am authorized to take part in any—"
Kubello began stiffly.
"Please," Kalaratan said, and the word had more force than politeness behind it. "Sheeran's right. 3 visitors at once may be too many for Harim. Today, anyway. And you've already heard his story."
"Well,"
Kubello said, his face dark. But after a moment, he turned and went out of the room. Sheeran surreptitiously signaled to Kalaratan that he should take a seat in the far corner. Then, turning to the man in the bed, he smiled his most agreeable smile and said,
"It's been pretty rough, hasn't it?"
"You said it."
"How long have you been in here?"
Harim shrugged.
"I guess a week, or 2 weeks, or maybe a little more. I don't know, I guess. Ever since..."
He fell silent. "The Jonglore Exposition?" Sheeran prompted.
"Since I took that ride, yes."
"It's been a little more than just a week or two," Sheeran said.
"Has it?"
Harim's eyes took on a glazed look. He didn't want to hear about how long he'd been in the hospital. Changing tack, Sheeran said,
"I bet you never dreamed a day would come when you'd tell yourself you'd be glad to get back to the docks, eh?"
With a grin, Harim said,
"You can say that again. Boy, what I wouldn't give to be slinging those crates around tomorrow."
He looked at his hands. Big, powerful hands, the fingers thick, flattened at the tips. One of them crooked from some injury long ago.
"I'm getting soft, laying here all this time. By the time I get back to work, I won't be any good anymore."
"What's keeping you here, then? Why don't you just get up and put your street clothes on and get out of here?"
Kalaratan from the corner made a warning sound. Sheeran gestured at him to keep quiet. Harim gave Sheeran a startled look.
"Just get up and walk out?"
"Why not? You aren't a prisoner."
"But if I did that, if I did that..."
The dock worker's voice trailed off.
"If you did that, what?"
Sheeran asked. For a long time, Harim was silent. face downcast, brow heavily knitted. Several times he began to speak, but cut himself off. The psychologist waited patiently. Finally, Harim said in a tight, husky, half-strangled tone,
I can't go out there because of the...
He struggled with himself.
The darkness,
he said. The darkness, said Shirin. The word hung there between them like a tangible thing. Harim looked troubled by it, even abashed. Shirin remembered that among people of Harim's class, it was a word that was rarely used in polite company. To Harim, it was, if not actually obscene, then in some sense sacrilegious. No one on Kalgash liked to think about darkness. But the less education one had, the more threatening it was to let one's mind dwell on the possibility that the six friendly suns might somehow totally disappear from the sky all at once, that utter blackness might reign. The idea was unthinkable, literally unthinkable.
The darkness, yes,
Harim said.
What I'm afraid of is that if I go outside, I'll find myself in the darkness again. That's what it is. The dark. All over again.
Complete symptom reversal in the last few weeks,
Clariton said in a low voice.
At first it was just the opposite. You couldn't get him to go indoors unless you sedated him. A powerful case of claustrophobia first, that is, and then, after some time, a total switch to claustrophilia. We think it's a sign that he's healing.
Maybe so, Shirin said, but if you don't mind... To Harim, he said gently, You were one of the first to ride through the Tunnel of Mystery, weren't you?
On the very first day,
a note of pride came into Harim's voice.
There was a city lottery. 100 people won free rides. There must have been 1 million tickets sold, and mine was the 5th one picked. Me, my wife, my son, my 2 daughters, we all went on it the very first day.
Do you want to tell me a little about what it was like?
Well,
Harim said,
it was.
He paused.
I never was in darkness. Ever, you know. Not even a dark room. Not ever. It wasn't something that interested me. We always had a god light in the bedroom when I was growing up, and when I got married and had my own house, I just naturally had one there, too. My wife feels the same way. Darkness isn't natural. It isn't anything that was meant to be.
Yet you entered the lottery.
Well, this was just once, and it was like entertainment, you know? Something special. A holiday treat. The big exposition. The 500th year of the city, right? Everybody was buying tickets. And I figured, this must be something different. This must be something really good. Or else, why would they have built it? So I bought the ticket. And when I won, everybody at the docks was jealous. They all wished they had the ticket. Some of them even wanted to buy it from me. No, sir, I told them. Not for sale. Me and my family. This is our ticket.
So you were excited about taking the ride in the tunnel?
Yeah, you bet.
And when you were actually doing it, when the ride started, what did that feel like?
Well,
Harim began. He moistened his lips and his eyes seemed to look off into a great distance.
There were these little cars, you see. Nothing but slats inside for seats, and the cars were open on top. You got in. 6 people in each one, except they let just the 5 of us go together because we were all one family. And it was almost enough to fill a whole car without putting a stranger in with us. And then you heard music. And the car started to move into the tunnel. Very slow it went. Not like a car on the highway would, just creeping along. And then you were inside the tunnel. And then...
Shirin waited again. Go on, he said after a minute when Harim showed no sign of resuming. Tell me about it. I really want to know what it was like.
Then... the darkness...
Harim said hoarsely. His big hands were trembling at the recollection.
It came down on you like they dropped a giant hat over you, you know? And everything turned black all at once.
The trembling was becoming a violent tremor.
I heard my son Trinit laugh. He's a wires guy, Trinit is. He thought the darkness was something dirty, I bet you. So he was laughing, and I told him to shut up, and then one of my daughters began to cry a little, and I told her it was okay. There was nothing to worry about, and that it was just going to be for 15 minutes, and she ought to look at it like it was a treat, not something to be scared of. Then...
Silence again. This time, Sheeran didn't prompt.
And then I felt it closing in on me. Everything was darkness. Darkness. You can't imagine what it was like. You can't imagine how black it was. How black. The darkness. The darkness.
Suddenly Harim shuddered, and great racking sobs came from him almost like convulsions.
The darkness. Oh, God, the darkness.
Easy, man. There's nothing to be afraid of here. Look at the sunlight. 4 suns today, Harim. Easy, man.
Let me take care of this,
Kalaratan said. He had come rushing to the bedside when the sobbing began. A needle glinted in his hand. He touched it to Harim's burly arm, and there was a brief whir of sound. Harim grew calm almost at once. He slumped back against his pillow, smiling glassily.
We need to leave him now, said Kalaratan. But I've hardly only begun to... He won't make any sense again for hours now. We might as well go for lunch.
Lunch? Yes, Sheeran said half-heartedly. To his own surprise, he felt almost no appetite at all. He could scarcely remember a time when he had felt that way.
And he's one of your strongest ones?
One of the most stable, yes.
What are the others like, then?
Well, some are completely catatonic. Others need sedation at least half the time. In the first stage, as I said, they don't want to come in out of the open. When they emerged from the tunnel, they seemed to be in perfect order, you understand, except that they had developed instant claustrophobia. They would refuse to go into buildings, any buildings, including palaces, mansions, apartment houses, tenements, huts, shacks, lean-tos, and tents.
Sheeran felt a profound sense of shock. He had done his doctoral work in darkness-induced disorders. That was why they had asked him to come here. But he had never heard of anything as extreme as this.
They wouldn't go indoors at all? Where'd they sleep?
In the open.
Did anyone try to force them inside?
Oh, they did, of course they did. Whereupon these people went into violent hysterics. Some of them even became suicidal. They'd run up to a wall and hit their heads against it. Things like that. Once you did get them inside, you couldn't keep them there without a straitjacket and a good stiff injection of some strong sedative.
Sheeran looked at the big longshoreman, who was sleeping now, and shook his head.
The poor devils.
That was the first phase. Harim's in the second phase now, the claustrophilic one. He's adapted to being here, and the whole syndrome has swung completely around. He knows that it's safe in the hospital, bright lights all the time, but even though he can see the suns shining through the window, he's afraid to go outside. He thinks it's dark out there.
But that's absurd, Sheeran said. It's never dark out there. The instant he said it, he felt like a fool. Kalaratan rubbed it in all the same, though.
We all realize that, Dr. Sheeran. Any sane person does. But the trouble with the people who have undergone trauma in the Tunnel of Mystery is that they are no longer sane.
Yes, so I gather, said Sheeran shamefacedly.
You can meet some of our other patients later today,
Kalaratan said.
Perhaps they'll provide you with some other perspectives on the problem. And then tomorrow, we'll take you over to see the tunnel itself. We have it closed down, of course, now that we know the difficulties. But the City Fathers are very eager to find some way to reopen it. The investment, I understand, was immense. But we should have lunch first. Yes, Doctor?
Lunch, yes, said Sheeran once again, even less enthusiastically than before.